This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Texas Republican Congressman Louie Gohmert, who represents the Lone Star State's 1st Congressional District. We've had him on recently to talk about his thoughts on the ongoing debt ceiling negotiations. He's weighed in on a major aspect of the ongoing negotiations that others have as well, but it hasn't received a ton of attention in the mainstream media. And that's the fact that massive decisions are being made by a pretty small group of people, and the details of those discussions are virtually hidden from the rest of us. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thank you, Greg, and you're exactly right. The president was a senator when he was telling everyone, you get me elected, and these important decisions aren't going to be made behind closed doors. We're going to get the public involved. We're going to do it on C-SPAN. It'll be the most open administration in history. And lo and behold, he gets there 2.5 years later. He's never had a true negotiation on C-SPAN. He had one meeting after the fact that really wasn't any type of negotiation. It was made for TV just discussion and condescension. These things are so important. You know, we elected people under our Constitution so they would do the negotiation on the House floor. And actually, Greg, if you go look at the rules of the House of Representatives, you cannot even have a meeting of a conference committee between the Senate conferees and the House conferees to resolve a bill unless it is public. And yet here we are. We've got the man who says he's going to have the most open administration in history, creating the most closed administration and wanting everything done as secretly as possible, demanding that the negotiations occur in the White House where he can completely control people's access or lack thereof. Whereas if it were in the Capitol, it'd be tougher to keep the media away.
Let's talk about a couple aspects of that. First of all, since Republicans now control the House of Representatives, do you believe your leadership is in a position to say we're not going to have these discussions unless they are in public?
Our leadership is in a position to say that, and they could make it stick, but they would have to be serious about it. I just keep coming back to, I'm not sure our leadership understands their bargaining position and the fact that we are bargaining to try to prevent the demise of the greatest country in history. We can't sustain another $1.7 trillion deficit year like this year when you only bring in $2.2 trillion in revenue. And if you raise taxes, you're going to kill what's left of the economy that hadn't already been killed. So I just think it's critical, and you make a great point. If Republican leaders were willing to take the stand, they could make this happen, and they could embarrass the president into doing what he promised he would do when he ran for office.
You mentioned, sir, that the one time there was a public hearing, it was very close to the end of the health care debate, and a lot of folks believe that lawmakers and the president potentially used that opportunity for grandstanding before the cameras. So there are some who believe that if you were to open any debate open for public consumption, that that's what we would get again. Do you believe that's a threat, or do you think if there were a long series of meetings that are all public, we'd see less of that?
No, actually, and as a former judge who would allow one camera in the courtroom as long as it was never a distraction, you could have some grandstanding, but the fact is when everybody knows that the negotiations are going to occur in here where everybody could see them, then there has to be negotiations and you get beyond any grandstanding because that's where the negotiations, everybody understand this is where they're going to occur. You either do it here or you don't do it. And actually, I think it would end up making for far better laws because people would know, gee, they're going to see this back home. I better not ask for something very selfish in here because the whole country will explode against me. I better make a demand for something that will help the country so I'll be a hero. I think that's the kind of grandstanding you want to see. You know, they say the best antiseptic is sunlight. Let's get sunlight in these things and get out the infectious pus and get it to a clean up-and-up negotiation where everybody can see what's happening.
Do you get the sense that this will happen, if not in this debate, since we're in the later stages of it, it would seem that it may happen in a major debate coming down the pike, or is this just something that both parties have seemingly agreed to not do?
I think both parties' leaders have agreed not to do, but it's something if folks like you will help get the word out that we're going to hold people who are elected accountable to the promise to make this an open process, to make them do these things and debate on the floor instead of in the locked up, secured rooms back in the back of the White House. I think it can happen. I don't know that it'll happen right now because leaders on neither side are committed to make them open, but I think the more people hear about it and start demanding it, people will realize, gee, if I want to stay in office, I better do this above board where everybody back home can see and know that I'm representing the country's interest and not my own.
Well, let me get your thoughts real quickly, sir, on what seem to be some of the latest developments in the debt ceiling negotiations. And that's, first of all, the idea of the grand bargain, a big deal moving forward that seems to now be pretty much off the table, given the president's ongoing advocacy of higher tax rates. Do you get the sense that your leadership is negotiating in a way that, for the most part, your conference is pleased with?
Our leadership has been negotiating very hard, very tough, demanding cuts, demanding that we get more responsible. They're working very hard, done a great job in pushing for cuts in future years that will never be enforceable. That's the great irony. That's the great tragedy. They are working so hard. They're working so many hours. They're being tough. They're negotiating tough. And yet what they're negotiating will be completely unenforceable when it's agreed on. I asked earlier today of our leadership how much of the $2 trillion you're talking about over the next 10 years will be in the first 12 months. Nobody could answer that. Let's face it, Greg, if the cuts do not occur before the deal is voted to raise the debt ceiling, then it's unenforceable. The next Congress, next year, the same Congress, you can change your mind. There is no way for this Congress right now to enforce things for 9-10 years in the future. And so I can't help but wonder if most of any agreed cuts are way out in the future and basically non-existent. And let's face it, when you're running a $1.7 trillion deficit each year, as we are this year, then over a 10-year period, cutting $2 trillion you're cutting $2 trillion out of maybe $15 trillion in deficit spending. You've done nothing to sustain the country with that kind of deal. We've got to have a game changer. We need to have a balanced budget amendment with a cap on spending. And now we find out our leadership's going to bring it to the floor before there's ever an agreement with the White House. That ought to be the deal. That ought to be a big part of it. All right, President, we're going to agree to slightly raise the debt ceiling in return for your helping us get the balanced budget amendment passed with the two-thirds required for a constitutional amendment, and it will have a percent of GDP as a spending cap. And then not only that, we know you would never sign a bill, Mr. President, that repeals Obamacare, but we're in a bind financially. We're spending $105 billion to implement Obamacare, which many believe will be found unconstitutional. Why not wait? Let's suspend the spending of the $105 billion until such time as the Supreme Court rules. That'll save a lot of money that could well be wasted if the Supreme Court strikes it down. Those two things are game changers. They are enforceable now, and they're things that we could get done if our leadership would stand strong on rather than agreeing to cuts for future Congresses to have to make, which they won't do.
Congressman, I don't want to put words in your mouth. Are you saying that you will not support any extension of the debt ceiling unless a balanced budget amendment is part of it?
Balanced budget amendment and the suspension of the $105 billion spending on Obamacare until we get a ruling from the Supreme Court. I need those two things. I will not vote to make cuts in the future that are completely unenforceable, which means they won't happen.
Very interesting. Congressman, always a pleasure to have you with us. Thank you very much for your time, sir.
Thanks, Greg. Always good to talk to you.
Thank you, sir. Texas Republican Congressman Louie Gohmert represents his state's 1st Congressional District. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.